Yo, I'm back. The Foul Hooked Whitey, coming to you not live from East Rosebud Studios in Billings, Montana. Episode 5, The Rise and Fall of East Rosebud High School. Before all that, Fly Fishing Nielsen ratings came in. Wow, I can't believe it. We've actually gained a touch of credibility. You know, I mean, we're at over 50 worldwide listeners, just like that. I mean, episode 5, right? I've had folks ask, what's the deal? And I'm going to start by telling you the deal. As I look back on the last 17 seasons of running this shop, I think about the most impactful part that is associated with my shop. What element to my shop has impacted me the most? And you know, I hate to say this because again, it's to a lot of folks, it's going to come off as totally like, you know, non-fly fishing, but it'll all tie in, I guarantee it. When my marriage ended to the River Goddess in the fall of 23, I was literally by myself for 2 weeks in a one-bedroom apartment, not knowing what the fuck to do. You know, I mean, I lived with the dame for 38 straight years, and now all of a sudden I'm in a nice apartment, sitting there going, who the fuck am I supposed to talk to? You know, when you're married and you're a conscientious man and you fish, through the course of a season, you're going to make plenty of texts or plenty of phone calls home and say, hey, it's 4 o'clock. I'm still in the stream bed. It's just fucking starting to turn on. And you wait for that spousal reply of, good, I'm glad. Stay as long as you need to. If you get that, you're good. But if you get anything negative, there's a dilemma. Do I sit here and keep throwing these fucking streamers? You know, it's finally starting to happen. I'm getting some chases. Or do I be a fucking intelligent man and get the fuck home and spend time with my wife? Being out of my house for 2 weeks after my separation, I'm sitting there fucking going, God, the world's my fucking oyster. No more calls home to get permission to fucking stay. You know, for those of you that have a significant other or are married, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And for those of you that don't, you have no fucking clue what I'm talking about. But that's a big part of having a relationship and being the type of angler that can just fucking go where they want, fish where they want, stay as long as they want, and never have to fucking look back. So, like I said, the world's my oyster. But do I look at it that way? No. I'm fucking bored. So, I reach out to someone that was a casual customer. I saw this woman maybe 5, 6, 7 times before, just in the shop. And, you know, this gal, who I didn't even know her full name. I know who she was. I know she was Wyoming. And I knew I had to reach out to her. I'll say from the onset, this person does not want me saying a fucking thing about anything as it pertains to her. But I told you from the beginning, you're going to get the whole truth. So 2 weeks out of the shoots of being separated, I reach out to this dame, and she responds good. And within a short period of time, I get to meet her, you know, in a non-customer capacity. And, I mean, it was almost like instantaneously, again, after this 38-year relationship ends, I meet this new woman. and I'm not a dope. And just like that, the only thing I could pay attention to was her. And over the course of 6, 7, 8 months, I fuck it up. And not only do I fuck it up, I fuck it up after just having signed a divorce agreement that put me on the hook for about 800 G's. You know, I'm a fly shop owner that doesn't come from any money. Right? You know, and when it comes to reinvesting in my shop and travel and everything else, you know, I mean, Jesus Christ, I spend too much. Who the fuck wouldn't? But I get to know this gal, and she changes everything for me. And now it's over. And I found myself just at a straight up legit crossroads of life. You know, I get basically, you know, financially decimated by a divorce. I'm not whining. I mean, that's how it goes. Montana's fitty-fitty. And, you know, I allowed myself to get very, very preoccupied with substance abuse, selfishness, and fishing. And it pretty much made 2024 for me the biggest challenge of my adult life. Every fucking bit of it's my deal. You know, Sugar Beaver takes 100% responsibility for where he sits any minute of the day. But my point is that when I met this woman, she really wasn't a fly fisherman yet. She wanted to be, but she was a good spin angler. And I was kind of a gateway to lead her and show her. And, you know, even though she told me, don't say a fucking word about me, I have to say now that the good times that we had when we fished, I'll never forget. And they were some of the happiest moments I ever had as a fly fisherman, was getting able to properly coach someone you care about, and that's an issue. A lot of husbands don't deliver the instruction right. And I've done that before. But with her, the element of owning a fly shop and being able to teach her and show her places that she may not have gotten to go to if I wasn't the guy. I don't know. That was really the joy of the last 6 to 12 months in my life in the shop. But when you get to a crossroads, you have to validate what you're doing. You have to look back on what you've done, what you can do, and what you got the ball still to do. And for me, I came to that point after going through an extremely difficult financial beatdown with divorce number one. And, you know, I tell you what, when I signed that divorce agreement, and obviously, I'm being as personal right now with my audience of 50 as I can be, and I'm fucking glad I am. When I signed that deal, I was a dope. I was distracted over here, hardcore. Plus, I was medicating to cope with the whole fucking deal. Did I get ripped off? No. But I got duped. And that created a lot of strain everywhere. But as I look back on the last 12 to 15 months in both of my recent marriages, I would change some things, obviously. But I've had just a fantastic run with the two gals I've been associated with during my time owning a fly shop in Montana. And if you talk to another fly shop owner out there, I would find it very hard to believe that if you ask them, to personal relationships and you enter into your fly fishing, your fly shop business, they would fucking chuckle and say, abso-fucking-lutely. So that's been my experience over the last 12, 15, 18 months. And that crossroads for me is important because, you know, I'm 59 years old. You know, I got one more chance to reinvent myself. I've had a good professional career in my life. And until, you know, the river goddess got me good with a divorce settlement, I was set. And I'm still set. But in order for me to navigate my life, I've had to make some hard decisions about me, my fly shop, my future, etc. The most important thing as I play out this process is that anybody who ever comes across listening to this has to know that the greatest experience in my professional life was getting to know my fly shop customers. You know, I've said some sarcastic things, some troubling things, some inappropriate things about the experience of interacting with fly shop customers as well as just owning a fly shop. But the thing about it is, that's just material. The reality of it is, my customers have straight up impacted me in a positive way more than any customer in any other industry could do. Not only have I had the privilege of getting a chance to talk about thousands of different fly fishing experiences, I know that in the future, I will also have that opportunity. My customers have been loyal, and that's so important to verbalize and appreciate because let's face it, you can order anything you want in this fucking industry, anything. Anything. While you're sitting on the toilet during a difficult bowel movement on your fucking phone. I mean, seriously. Dude sitting on the pot, 10, 15 minutes, whatever it be, pulls up his fucking phone and just like that, orders his fucking waiters just like that. That's how easy it is for a consumer in the specialty fly and tackle business to buy what they fucking want to buy. I mean, you know, loyalty in retail is fleeting. However, in the sport of fly fishing, consumers, customers, their loyalty, they're dying to give it to you. You know, Montana is certainly a fly fishing oriented sport or state by optics, but there's a lot of fucking people in the state that spin fish. From the walleye guy all the way to fucking, you know, smallmouth bass, Chinook salmon in Fort Peck, huge lake trout in Fort Peck. I mean, there's definitely a spin culture here, but you don't see a lot of spin shops. You know, I don't know, but you don't. But if there's a quality river in the area in Montana, you're going to see a lot of fucking fly shops. And that's because what we have and what I've got to experience from the inside is we have such a legit culture. And that's what it is. It's a culture. It's more than just, here's $10, here's my bag of shit. It's way more. It's probably in all of sport retail, You name it. It's probably the most event-shared experience of all of them combined. Meaning, the number of conversations that go down because of actual experiences out in the field is a lot. And even though I've kind of, you know, made fun of it here and there, the truth is, it kind of fills up your soul. You get to have real meaningful, good conversations with people that are good people, that are respectful people, that are loyal people, that are honest people. That's who walks in my door. I just completed a huge inventory, fucking huge. A couple hundred thousand pieces plus, I'm sure. And I hardly have any shrink. I mean, I hardly have any shrink. I mean, you know, and the shrink we have is probably us. Point is, good people. People don't come in my shop to rip me off. I'd say 75% of the clientele that walks in my door that I know, I'd hand them my fucking keys and say, lock it up at 7 o'clock. That's the quality of people I have as consumers. So I'm gonna come back episode 2 from episode 5, and I'm going to wrap this up, and I'll do a quick reveal. That's it. Foul Hooked Whitey, out.